This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. In his message titled Sin and Satan Part 2, Pastor Scott teaches us about the consequences of sin, but also reminds us that while all of us sin, Christ's self-sacrifice will redeem us in the eyes of God. This message was delivered on Sunday, October 1st, 2017. Here now is Pastor Scott.
We are in Part 2 of Sin and Satan. And this week we're continuing talking about sin. And last week we learned that sin is missing the mark and that we all fall short. Both sin and Satan are things we need to stay away from, for they worked against us in our walk. And we're going to look at what sin is and what it does. Who is behind it all? Sin. Satan, two very real things, whether you want to agree or not. The Bible talks about them so much, and the Bible warns us about the consequence of sin, and the Bible also warns us what Satan is all about. So sin, it separates us from God. Sin kills. Sin destroys. Guilt. When we feel guilty towards God, it comes from when we read the Bible and we get clarification from what the Bible says it is. It's a result of our breakdown in obedience to God. When we feel that genuine guilt deep inside of us, in our hearts, we feel like that guilt, that yucky feeling, it comes from within, and it tells us that we maybe disobeyed God. And that's, if you ever felt that and you realized that you were doing something wrong, that's from God. And that's from the Holy Spirit. And if you're following on your outline, number one, the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. It's that thing when we do something wrong. You know when you're driving down the road and you cuss somebody? I mean, this is my traffic issue of the week. I'm behind somebody at the stoplight, the light turns green, and they go very, very slow. Then the light turns yellow. They step on the gas. They make it through the light, and I'm stuck at the traffic light. Oh, and words come out of my mouth, and I was like, man, Lord, forgive me because I just, you know, called somebody a donkey. Is that only me or is that you too? I think it's 90% it happens to me because God is trying to teach me something that I refuse to learn. And man, every time that happens, and I feel like terrible after I say something, and I realize that the Holy Spirit is convicting me of my sins. And I need to learn that it is not okay to do that. It's bad. And I hope I learn that lesson soon and I stop calling people names, because one day it might be you in front of me. And I would not want to, you know, be in your mirror, looking in the mirror with my hands up like that, like, what's up, man? John 16:8, and when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. I mean, the conviction, it feels like a very uncomfortable feeling. It's a mess. It's not good. It's like inside we feel yucky. Inside, in our heart, we know we did something wrong. And that's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And that's one of the Spirit's ministry, to convict the world of sin. The Spirit works on the minds of us and of unbelievers. You know, if we are filled with guilt feelings, which could be a result of sin, and the convicting power of the Spirit, there is only one solution, is to repent, ask for forgiveness. And I think, and I believe, that when we sin and we get that conviction, that's a good thing, because it tells us something is wrong. Now, if we sin and we don't feel any conviction, I'd be worried at that point, because I would think that I become so comfortable in my sin that I no longer feel guilt. And if you're in that place, I would ask God, and I would pray, and I would ask Him to reveal my sin so that I do feel that conviction. Because I think that conviction is what helps us to repent. Amen? Now, there is consequences to sin. The Scriptures repeatedly tell us that sin and death are inseparable. They're linked together. Before the fall, God warned Adam and Eve in Genesis 2:17, "But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, from it you will surely die." And He gave them clear instruction. And I think, why would God put that tree in the garden? You know, it's like, come on. God, why would you do that to me? Why would you put it right there where I can see it? It looks so good. It looks so delicious. But you put it right there. And I think God, because of His love for us, He gave us a choice. He gave Adam a choice to be obedient and follow Him, or do what you like. And God loves us so much that He doesn't force us to obey. I mean, God could have not put the tree in there and not give Adam a choice. But that wouldn't be love. I mean, God loves us, so He gave you a choice. He gave you a choice to get up this morning to be here or not be here. It was your free will. But you chose to be here, and that's a sign of obedience. Throughout the Bible, there are many statements which tell us, you know, we can choose to obey or choose to disobey. And, you know, we can be reminded always that there's consequences to sin and the effect of sin. In Ezekiel 4:8, the soul who sins will die. Number two, sin leads to death. Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world and death through sin, so death spread to all men because some have sinned, because all have sinned. You ever meet some people who say that they don't sin? I mean, there are people who say they don't sin. I don't sin. Really? You just sinned. Seriously? I mean, there are people who say, you know, I don't sin. It's like, I think even if you was locked up in a white cell with nothing to see, nothing to do, your mind can sin. And if you say you don't sin, then what are you saying? The Bible is lying? Because the Bible says all have sinned. Not some, but all. That's including me, including you, including the person on your left, including the person on your right. But don't tell them that. Romans 6:22. For the wages of sin is death. But, I like the but. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, you know, sin leads to death. The Bible connects those two. But this is, at this point, this is where Christ comes in. This is where the death of Christ enters the scene. God could not be satisfied until sin had been fully atoned for. And the Bible teaches us that by the suffering and the death of Christ, the acceptable substitute was provided for the sin of us. Therefore, by making Christ's sufferings and death to be the avenue for all of us sinners to be saved. That's the good news. And there could be no amends for sin apart from the sacrifice of blood. The reason being that God so declared it in Hebrews 9:22. According to the law, one may almost say all things are cleansed with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And Hebrews 9:12, he did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. Let me explain this. But by his own blood, here, talking about man's, the redemption of man is attributed to the blood of Christ. And this blood is stated to be shed in that sacrificial way, precisely as how the blood of bulls, goats, and calves was shed under the law. Okay, so Christ shed his blood once for all, one time he did this. Once and for all. Just like how the priest would enter the holy place once a year with the blood. Okay? The holy place, the sanctuary, signifies heaven into which Jesus entered with his own blood as the high priest entered to the Holy of Holies with the blood of the victims which he sacrificed. And then the eternal redemption. The redemption price which should stand good forever. When once this was offered, an endless redemption from sin. So that, what Christ did was once and for all to redeem us, to cleanse us, to pardon us, to reconcile us to God. And from then on, there is no need for any other sacrifice. It is eternal. It is for us. And that's the good news. Here's the good news. The atonement, which means that our sins, your sins, my sins, past, present, future, were laid upon Christ. Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sins, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. That's us. We're waiting for him. Christ took, if you can imagine that, the sins, the weight, all of that ugliness. He took it upon himself so that you and I could be made right in God's eyes. All of the sin, because there was no other way to save us. We would all die because of our sins. But because the love of Christ, the love of God, he sent Christ to take our sins away so that we can be saved. And again, he still gives each and every one of us a choice to say, yes, Lord, we're going to accept you as our Lord and Savior. We're going to love you. We're going to serve you. We're going to honor you. Like I said, it doesn't mean that we're not going to ever sin anymore. Yes, we're going to sin anymore. But do, like I said last week, are we going to sin accidentally or are we going to continue to live practicing sin? There's a difference there. Because everybody will sin, but not everybody will practice to sin. The love of God was never more fully demonstrated than in his self-giving, self-sacrificing passion at the cross. When Jesus said that God so loved the world that he gave his son, his only son, so that we can have eternal life. I mean, if you think about the love that God shared with us, that he had for us, even though way back when Adam made that choice to disobey God and eat of the tree, and sin from him spread through all mankind, and we still have that choice today. Like I said, you made the choice to say, yes, Lord. You made the choice to get up, to be here this morning. And that's in obedience. Yeah. God's love was demonstrating in this self-giving, self-sacrificing passion. Nothing less than the atonement of Christ could rescue us from the penalty of our sins. Nothing less. And the penalty of that sin was death. But fortunately for us, for you and I, God met the demands of his own holiness provided by providing himself an atonement, a satisfaction. And Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, was not a compromise to his laws, but a holy substitute. He took our place. And the good news is, number three, sin can be forgiven. Isn't that great news? Sin can be forgiven. I mean, think about it. I drive, I make a mistake, and I cuss that person out in front of me. The Holy Spirit convicts me of sin, and I feel guilty inside. And it's like, oh, Lord, I did something wrong. I cussed somebody who was created in your image, and I called them something. You know, the Bible says that from our mouth comes praises, right? We sing, you know, bless the Lord, oh my soul. And then on the other hand, when I'm driving, with the same mouth, I call somebody a name because I don't agree with how they're driving. The same mouth, can you believe that? And I sin, I get convicted. But thank God that we can be forgiven of our sin. 1 John 1:9. If you have your Bibles, man, highlight this scripture. Memorize this scripture. Read it with me. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How good is that scripture? 1 John 1:9. Remember that. If we confess. I think every day I find myself confessing something. If we confess, he is faithful. He's not going to say, you know when somebody asks you for forgiveness and then you say, well, I'll think about it. Give me a week. Or when you fight with your spouse and they give you the silent treatment for 1 week, you ask forgiveness, but I'm going to make him suffer for a little while. Yeah, I'm going to make him suffer, make him sleep on the couch for a little while. You know, God is faithful. He doesn't say that he's going to make us suffer and wait. The Bible says he's faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Like You know, when you work hard all day, you come in the house, you're all sweaty, dirty, and stinky. That's how I was the other week. My wife really knew I worked hard. She said, I can smell you from here. And she refused to give me a hug. I mean, come on, what is the love? But then after a nice hot shower, I felt so clean. It's kind of like when you confess your sins, He will cleanse you. It doesn't say He might. He's faithful, and I'm so thankful that He is. Isaiah 1:18, come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. Now, we know crimson was the color of a deep, like red, permanent dye. I mean, if you ever spilt something like red wine on your white shirt or grape juice, you know what that, your children, you know when we do communion on Sundays and they get the grape juice on their white pants and you get all nuts and crazy at them? I mean, so this is what, there's like a deep red permanent staining dye, which was, if you wash laundry, you know it's very hard to get out. And the blood-stained hands of murderers, they were probably talking about that here. But that stain, I mean, how many of you stained clothes before? Sometimes I go home in my nice church clothes and I take out stuff and I start painting or staining stuff, and next thing you know, there's splash marks all over my clothes, and I think like, and the stain of stain, that's why they call it stain, is a stain. And I ruin so many clothes because it can't get it out. And even you use bleach, it'll just ruin everything else. And the stain was permanent. But God, just like, it's like the stain of sin. If God wasn't there to help cleanse us, it would be a permanent stain on our lives. But here, God says that it can be removed by His blood. And God's word assures us that if we're willing and obedient, Christ will forgive, will remove that permanent stains in your life. Oh, I had plenty permanent stains in my life. Plenty. Like we say on the Big Island, choke. And I would come to Christ, like we say, stained, pilau, dirty from head to toe. And I would say, Lord, I confess my sin. And He was faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And that's the good news about having this relationship with Jesus Christ. Because sin leads to death. But Christ died so that we could receive the forgiveness of sins. We could be made right and whole again in the eyes of God and be cleansed. Isn't that the good news? Cleansed from all unrighteousness. I mean, even if we continue to miss the mark, we fall short, we cuss somebody in traffic, or how many of you cuss your coworkers out because they left you out to hang, or they said they were going to do something, they didn't. Maybe you cussed your spouse because they said they was going to cook the dinner or wash the laundry and they didn't, right? Or I know one time this is what happened. I was driving my wife's car and I got pulled over because everything was expired. Oh, I wanted food. But I cannot. You gotta love, confess, forgive. Yes. but God forgives sin. Amen. Isn't that a great feeling? Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16675 Milo Street, Keau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.